Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, hey, Dusty, Doc Daly's fortunate up here. Jumping on you real quickly. No, let's forget boxing for a minute. Let's talk about all this Tommy John surgery that's going on, Dusty. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm sorry for the block. I was in the studio here muted. And then, you know, we talked about this, Dusty. What's happening with the Tommy John surgery? Guys are pitching every fifth day. Guys are pitching 100 innings. And they're having Tommy John surgery. And yeah, I remember talking to Tom Seaver, the great George Thomas Seaver, because his first name is George, not Thomas. And possibly, definitely one of the 10 greatest right-handed pitchers of all time. Maybe the greatest right-handed of his era, 300 wins, the ERA, the strikeouts. And I said to him, I said, you know, if you were around today, you can win 500 games. And this is what the great George Thomas Seaver said. And George was his grandfather's name. He said, bullshit. You got to go every 4 days, and you got to go at least 5 innings. And Nolan Ryan, a contemporary of his, you know, and Texas, you know, Nolan didn't play that baby nonsense. You know what I mean? And it seems that this thing is backfiring, Dusty. I mean, there are more guys having Tommy John surgery now than before.
Yeah, because they're running a daycare center for pitchers, man. You know, these guys, I told you last week or this week, we talk every day, so I lose track. But I told you that this Danny McClain, was several years ago, Detroit Tigers, was it? The guy was won 25 games, good two-thirds of the 25 games. I mean, the man went the distance, the whole nine innings. And I don't know what's wrong with these pitchers. This guy, Tanaka, the guy's a killer in Japan. I don't know whether he's playing Little League or what over there, because 23-0, over 200 strikeouts, and he comes here, and he goes 14 games, and already Tommy John surgery. And he's going to miss, of course, the All-Star game. I was looking forward to him doing the All-Star game. He does the All-Star, and he's going to miss the All-Star game. So what the heck is wrong with these guys today? I don't know. But I don't like this business of pitch count. And then by seventh inning, you could be winning way ahead, and then you bring in a stupid bullpen, that'll lose the game for you. So I don't know what the heck is wrong with these guys. I don't know if it's in the DNA or what they eat or don't eat or what they do to strengthen their arms. I remember seeing Mariano Rivera, who had a leather official-sized baseball, but it was made of aluminum. And he would practice with that ball, soft throwing, to strengthen his arm. I don't recall this man going to any Tommy John surgery. So I just don't understand what is wrong with today's pitchers. They don't seem to be going in. The guy Strasburg from the Washington Nationals, this new kid from the Mets, the first year, their arms are shot. Their arms are gone. Get to foot. Hello? Hello?
Okay, go, Jesse. Yeah. Proves the way they had some technical difficulties, lost Dusty, looking for GW Mike. Also, you
hey, what's up? Too, hi, y'all. What's up?
You said, too, that that Melo would come back to New York. So you called both of these shots, right? You said Melo was going to come back to New York, and you said LeBron was going to go back to Cleveland. How much of Melo coming back to New York, in your opinion, has to do with the fact that LeBron's going back to Cleveland? I mean, the idea of teaming up together and all that sort of stuff is kind of out the window, correct?
Yes, it is. It's out the window. And also, I found out he signed for 2 years, $42 million, and he can opt out next summer. And they're still working on Carmelo Anthony's contract right now. They try to sort that out. So they had him for $129 million. Now they try to get it down for $122 million, so they can have enough money so they can sign free agents for next year coming. So they still trying to work out his contract. He'll be back with the Knicks.
Whose contract are we talking? Is that LeBron's contract or his
dad's? We're talking about
Carmelo's
contract right now. Carmelo's okay. Contract is they still working on his contract right now. Because they had him at 129. Now they got it down for 122 for 5 years. So they're trying to even that out so they can have enough money for enough space cap to sign free agents for next year. Let's talk about Carmelo Anthony.
So this turned out to be just a big win-win situation for Carmelo. I mean, he gets the money, and they're doing the things to bring the players around him that's going to necessitate a championship run. And we have to take our hats off to Phil Jackson and what he's been doing so far.
I commend him. I like what he's doing so far.
Well, I mean, yeah, getting Melo back and doing the things that have to be done to keep Melo happy and also validate Melo's return. Just to get it back to you and that pitch thing, man, it was just something that I mean, we talked about it the other day, and you know, here's a guy, Tanaka, this kind of money they put into him, and you have a very good point, too. And it's an intimate situation, Dusty. Sports in the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. It's a Sunday SID, Sunday afternoon, midday. And it's something that's always been a question, Dusty. And you know it's always been a question. It's been, you know, how good are the Orioles or pitchers going to be in the major leagues after pitching, for all intents and purposes, Dusty, in an inferior league? And now to turn around and this guy who was just a world beater, and what was said, too, was that when he went around the league the first time, boom. But he started, you know, people made adjustments to him.
Mm.
The injury.
Yeah.
Could it be a combination of psychological and the fact that he is just above his head?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, too, just now. He was in the Japanese. He was in the Japanese. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Dusty.
He was in the Japanese league. Okay, he was in the Japanese league. The Japanese league has maybe just a little lower level of demands, I think, of the major leagues. So that's the difference. You know, over there he was a monster. He struck out 23-0. You know, struck out over 200 dudes, maybe little league or T-ball players. He comes here, and he comes here with this unbeaten record and aura of invincibility, and he's pitching against some animals. I mean, he pitches a first pitch strike over the plate, and boom, it's a home run. And he's looking to us, you know, like he was saying, welcome to the real world, kid. I mean, welcome to the majors. This is what you got to expect here. And then you turn around. He settles down. He's a good pitcher. He settles down. He strikes out guys. He strikes out guys. But still, in all, these guys adjust to him, and they start knocking the crap out of him. But then on top of that, he winds up with a bad arm.
Yeah.
So you wonder, I mean, what was he doing in Japan as opposed, or is the size ball or the weight of the ball or whatever the heck it is? Because
Dusty,
I think
without question, all these things you were saying, they've got to be questions. You got to look at them. I mean, the size of the ball. I mean, and you made a tremendous point. You know, guys who left our league went there when they were no longer at the apex of their game and went over there and were superstars.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean? And the thing here, I'm just wondering. Go ahead.
Yeah. But do you remember the first Japanese guy that Stan Brenner hired? He was so angry with the dude, he called him a fat Jap. I forgot the guy's name.
He passed away about 2-3 years ago.
Right. And the guy couldn't pitch for shit over here. And I'm saying, wait a minute. He's a superstar over there. But he couldn't pitch for anything.
You know what, Dusty? And you know what happened? The first very successful Oriental pitcher was a guy who played with the Giants. But you remember, he was a relief pitcher.
A relief pitcher,
so,
right.
Remember,
and
so
then you get
a situation.
Yeah, go ahead.
But
Go ahead.
He didn't pitch every day. And in those days, the guys in the bullpen really didn't come in that much.
Absolutely.
As opposed, like, you know, every day, like now, except for the major guys, Ron Farinowski, Dick Raddatz. So he wasn't a big name closer or relief pitcher, but he was successful. And I'm looking back at that now, Dusty, and that had to be to the fact that his infrequency coming into the game, and evidently, too, they were trained the way they trained pitchers then, because everybody's doing the same thing that the American League or the National League is doing. They're doing pitch counts every fifth day.
Right,
so,
absolutely. But you have to understand that what was the definition of the bullpen in our day or in yesteryear? It was just in case a Nolan Ryan went in the first inning, and by the end of the first inning, he was losing 20-0.
Hey, Dusty, you know what? I got even a better one for you. I was talking to Catfish Hunter one day, late great Catfish Hunter, and Catfish said the reason why they had the guys out in the bullpen, he said, because they didn't want him in the game in the first place.
Well, you know something that's funny? It's apropos because that's how Mariano Rivera became the savior, because he was a starting pitcher. He couldn't last three innings, and he was bombed. They said, look, kid, you're good for three innings, so you better get yourself in the bullpen.
And not only that, if you remember, Wetland was the closer. He was the setup guy, and even then, he only got the closer spot because they couldn't find somebody else. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. That's what
that was
it is.
Deal.
Yeah.
They couldn't find nobody else.
Exactly. So getting back to the mystery as to why these weaklings are weaklings, and they can't go the nine innings, and it's a miracle if you see a Johan Santana who pitched a no-hitter and his arm was dead after the no-hitter, couldn't go nine innings anymore.
It goes down to the little leagues, though. Do you guys remember when we were all kids? I remember pitching a six-inning game. If I gave up one hit, my team would lose when we were kids. I mean, this is 12 years old.
Right.
I mean, my father would hang me. If I remember my arm dangling off of the mound. My father would turn around and tell me you had to finish the game. Like nowadays, you put kids in Little League, you got coaches telling you can't pitch more than three innings.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't pitch more than three innings. The Little League rules is that every kid on your 15-man roster, because that was the maximum, had to play.
The thing is, the Little League in those days, though, I mean, the same guy could pitch every game because you only play once or twice a week. So he can pitch Saturday and pitch again.
You got four outfielders.
You go into the Little League
now, you have four outfielders. You know what they did when my grandfather started the league? Mike, here's a bat. You're 7 years old. I had a guy that was pitching 60 miles an hour throwing the ball at you, and you ran out of the box. Eventually, you got a hit. They didn't play around nowadays. Now you got guys 7 and 8 division, 8 and 9.
You know what we're saying, fellas? We're saying the same thing across the board here in all sports. And this is what you guys talk so much about in boxing. GW, Mike, Muscles, and Dusty. The fundamental. People are not taught the fundamental. And they said that the deterioration of college basketball fundamentally came because as a coach, okay, GW, Mike, has a jump shot. Yeah, I ain't got time for you to learn how to dribble because I got Muscles to dribble the ball up. And Dusty, you just get rebounds. I don't want to, because I'm... You made everybody a specialist because the emphasis is on winning. And no longer are coaches teaching kids the fundamentals of whatever, basketball, baseball, playing a saxophone. And what you said, Mike, and your arm was dingling, but your arm got stronger. As that Tom Peters said, your arm got stronger, and you could pitch seven. When you went to the Pony League, you could do nine innings. Now
It's resistant. It's like anything else. Yes, I understand that nobody wants to. I'll give you an example. We talk about this P90X workout. Oh, you can't. They tell you as trainers, don't train more than 35 minutes. That's all your body needs. Okay,
let's
not forget about this though. Yes, we understand that our bodies might, our muscles might deteriorate a little bit if we overextend the workout. But we're in the pain business no matter which sport. You have to overcome adversity. And the only way you're going to overcome adversity is if you have a strong mind and your body knows the pain level that it's going to take to get past the other guy. And if you never make it through that, whether you're in a ring, whether you're on a court, whether you're in football, I mean, you just don't know. So you have to build that resistance. Like you said, Doc, if your arm, if you don't know what it's like to practice to throw so many pitches, you don't ain't going to know it, especially under the pressure of a game. These guys, like, come on, you think Ron Guidry ever thought about
Mike,
that shit?
You just came up, you know, Mike and Mike. Mike, GW Mike, along with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, in an interview I saw, Mike said, you know, he did things in practice so redundantly that when it came to the game, I've been here before. I've been here before.
Exactly.
Okay, I can shoot this exactly. With a shot for the key. Dusty has practiced this three-point jump shot 80 times in practice. Okay, jump shot is practiced going on a pick and roll. Muscles is practiced how to fake and then go. It becomes second nature. That's what you're talking about. You know, the idea that it's second
also,
nature.
When you talk about practice, you play just like this. You play every position. And you play every move. Every player knows
Dusty, when we were kids, you're right. But now, Dusty, they're specialists. A guy told me something last year.
That's the deterioration of the game. You're specialists.
Oh, no, a guy told me something last year, Dusty, that you know, it just showed me that, you know, fan means fanatic. And in a lot of cases, that also means either idiotic and stupid. And this guy told me that when the Yankees got Ichiro, that Ichiro was better in left field because Swisher, who was playing right field, couldn't play left field. And I said, what are you telling me? Your two best outfielders are your right field and your center fielder. Ichiro is a Golden Glove Hall of Famer, and you're telling me that this guy can guard Michael Jordan easier than he can guard Mark Jackson? But that's a fan. I mean, so
it's called being an uneducated fan. We look at the game of any. It's called being an uneducated fan. And at the end of the day, it gets to a point where it becomes nauseous when you're looking at everybody. You got a guy, these coaches that are coming out of the woodworks, they're fans. They have no idea it's fundamentalist. There was a thing called fundamentalist. My grandfather used to hit me balls. He would hit me 200 ground balls a day. Every time I came home, it was clockwork. I would stay outside and throw the ball against the wall and play a 9-inning game all by myself. This is what kids did, and I was a normal kid. Remember when they were playing sandlot ball in the Bronx, for Christ's sake? We would go to Bridgeport, Connecticut. We were playing guys like they were real games. I remember like we were playing like 20-year-old kids.
Yeah.
It seemed like we were playing against. This ain't now. These kids, it's just, again, it comes to
you guys, and most of I have to think the interjection of steroids and different drugs, it's got to be something that's more prevalent because these kids' bodies, I mean, besides emulating their heroes, physically, they need help, Muscles.
Yeah, they need more than help. It's I don't know. It's cheating. I mean, your body, you can have all the muscles and the endurance in the world. If your body don't know how to go through the pain, that agony, all the steroids, eventually the steroids is going to wear off. And when you reach that threshold where your body doesn't know pain, it's like Andre Ward. You know, I talk about
Andre
Ward.
Muscles with us. Yeah, muscles, you with
us? I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll ask you a question. Talk to me, baby. Talk to me. I mean, you're the expert. I mean, my thinking is the injection of steroids is at a higher level because not only is it something that you emulate your heroes, but as we just talked about, these body breakdowns, this switch to be, it's something that I think they feel they need it, and maybe they do need muscles?
Well, you know, you see what it's done for sports today. I mean, these guys are becoming super athletes. I mean, just look at the Olympics. You know, too much money going on in sports, and that's the reason why we have this dilemma with steroids, you know. And it's like a snake in the grass. It will always be there. You don't know whose great performance is based on natural ability or drugs.
Yeah, because, you know, actually the thing is that we have created this criminality of steroids. We have shortcutted our talents. You're 14, 15, 16, and guys there right now are telling me, hey, man, you want to make this A team or the B team. You want to be better. You're younger, but to qualify, how about taking some of this? Before that, we didn't poison our body with the so-called enhancements. We worked.
Dusty, you didn't
want to
smoke. You didn't want to smoke till my drug. You're right, Dusty. Yeah. You didn't want to smoke if you were an athlete. You couldn't. You crazy?
Right. If you caught a dude on your team smoking or taking a little glass of wine, it was, oh my God, this guy's gonna kill himself. I ain't gonna do that. I'm not going to do my freaking lungs. In fact, there was an old wives' tale. You guys may remember. You guys may remember the old wives' tale of if you smoke, it'll stunt your growth. It's, I'm not me. I don't want to be no midget.
Oh, yeah, that, you're right.
I don't want to be no midget.
The line that told you.
Right. I don't want to be no midget. I ain't smoking. But then again, if you smoke, your lungs will get screwed up. How the hell are you going to fight? How the hell are you going to do your work?
Just, you're
how are you going to be an athlete? You know, so you kept your body virgin.
Yeah, see, there were athletes who wouldn't do cigarette commercials.
Exactly.
Wouldn't do cigarette commercials.
On your body.
You kept your body virgin. Virgin pure because you want
to
be an athlete.
Hey, Dusty, like you said, not to mention you're going to be a midget, man. Hey, you're going to be shorter than Lil Larry. He's a midget, you know?
Exactly.
Dr. Stanley, you're on that Blog Talk Radio. Tristan Garvey, Network. Gentlemen, last night.
Hey, Dusty. Dusty.
Yeah.
Dusty, real quick, I'll give you an example. You know what I mean? You've been around the games long enough. You look at it, they always said it was like this, especially nowadays with these guys. I use Chad Dawson as a reference. We talk about it. If you're not pure to your body, okay,
yeah.
and when you get in the ring with somebody like an Andre Ward, it's almost like knowing that you went home and cheated on your wife.
Yeah,
okay?
It's the same problem.
And when you get in there mentally, it's always going to be in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
What did I do? And if you're not clear in your head, it's going to break down the whole machine that
even
if you got ready for all these years.
Because you know what you did wrong, and it's a shortcut. And it's
not
going to last
over.
Look at right now. It's showing up. Pacquiao is showing the effects of what steroids are doing to him. I'm not knocking anybody out anymore. What happened to that?
It was like putting two bullets in a six shooter. You knew you were four shots short. And let's talk boxing now.
In case you guys don't know, there is a 99% delivery of Pacquiao and Chris Algieri in Macau.
Did you guys hear about that? Yeah.
Chris Algieri Macau.
Wow.
And that to me is a good fight.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you guys something.
Yeah, go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
Last night.
No, look, Mike, GW.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys about this. Last night we were watching a friend of mine came over to watch the fight with us, and he's into that World Combat Karate League. He's a boxing trainer now, but he knew Chris Algieri from back then. One of his guys that was on his team fought Chris Algieri.
Right.
And he showed me a tape where Chris Algieri had got stopped. He got knocked out in that pro amateur kickboxing. Let me tell you something. That kid could fight. He was banging out. Like, when I tell you he was slugging it out, toe-to-toe, banging out with this guy, taking shots left and right. And then he got hit with a shot that, like, Marquez hit Pacquiao with. This kid, let me tell you something. This kid is the real deal. I mean, I couldn't believe it. He could fight if he has to fight and get in there. And he got power.
You know, Mike, I remember the press conference. He showed so much calm, assurance. I mean,
under duress,
no worry. I mean, he was like, hey, look, man, I'm going to beat this guy because this guy is one-dimensional. And he
absolutely.
I mean, well, you take your hats off to him. And what we got to talk about too, Muscle GW called Dusty. You can kick it off, Dusty.
Right.
Laura Alvarez. You agree with the decision? How did you see that fight?
Okay. Speaking of one-dimensional, that was Canelo Alvarez. The man, first of all, I'm not sold on him, but I thought he would change from what I saw, what he did to Angulo. But you see, Canelo's the type of dude that you, Doc, Muscles, everybody else, got to stand in front of him so he can pound you and look great. He had a dancer yesterday who beat the crap out of him. In my opinion, I gave it to Lara. A lot of people gave it to Lara because he boxed and jived. Did you see Canelo throw three or four punches at him? He looked foolish. He looked just as foolish as he did with Mayweather.
Yeah, I'm going to take off my air conditioner.
He could not catch Lara plainly. If he had hit Lara, like I put in my column, if he hits Lara in his face, he's going to knock him out because Lara got a weak jaw. He went to the body. What did he do? One or two or three good punches, and Lara just danced around. That's what you're supposed to do. He comes up and says, well, you don't come to a fight to run. If you want to run, get on a marathon. Look foolish. You look stupid. The guy made you look foolish. I mean, and he outboxed you. Sure, it was closer, I would have settled for a draw, but they had to give it to the homeboy, the same way they did to Mayweather with Maidana. That's my stay on it. Canelo lost last night, but they want to keep him because he talked about fighting Cotto. So either way, he still got the Cotto contract. But he lost last night. So fellas, you take it on from there, man, because he, you know, a lot of beat him cleanly.
I want my money back. I want my money back because I got to be honest with you.
Call Oscar Daryl Hoyer, get your money back.
Yeah, let me go call Oscar.
I'm sending my money. I want to send it to the bank. I'm going to cancel the payment. I'm calling AT&T tomorrow. I just woke up from the fight. I just woke up a couple minutes ago. I got up late today because I was watching the fight. I fell asleep during the fight. Never woke back up.
Yeah, I played it back last night. After I taped it, I played it back last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, how the hell could I be wrong? This kid slapped the crap out of him, man.
Dusty, let's be realistic, okay? Let's all of us talk here. We're all boxing historians. We're all lovers of the game. But how pathetic was that whole fight? I mean, world-class fighters, man. I mean, I don't understand. I get thrown out of the loop for saying this. But, man, I'm holding on. It's like you're holding on to that old girlfriend that cheated on you 1,700 times. I mean, this is pathetic. Yeah. A world-class fighter don't know how to cut the ring off, dude?
Exactly.
I mean, come on, dude. He didn't even throw a jab.
Pay-per-view, and that was a pay-per-view fight. They should put that on regular TV.
Exactly. It wasn't worth the pay-per-view. It wasn't.
How
and,
in the
and,
world?
And by the way, Canelo got $1.5 million. I always check on the money. Canelo got $1.5 million, and Lara got $1 million. So at least he got
Even Lara. Come on. You throw a jab. You throw a straight left. You don't sit in there and engage. And at one point, if that was Thomas Hearns hitting him, Thomas Hearns boxed, but the guy didn't even stand level on his punches. He never had a footing in the fight. How do you call yourself world-class fighters, $1 million? You know what Mike McCown, you think he ever made $1 million, dude? This is crazy.
No, of course not. Of course not. He didn't make $1 million. I mean, you know, but the fact is,
these guys wouldn't have been able to beat Mark Breland. I don't even think these guys would have beat Mark Breland. This is how
he's the next golden boy. They've got to build him up. They got a lot of money invested in him, so he has to go this way. So now the idea is they're talking about the fact that he wants to stay at 55, but he doesn't mind going, doing a catch weight with Triple G, but Triple G has to come down to 55.
God.
Get the heck out of here, man.
Listen,
you want to fight
Triple
G,
you
go to 60.
These guys are basically the mortgage-backed securities of the 2008 recession.
Yeah.
That's what these guys are. This is nothing but
here's the real deal. Here's the real deal on this. Got to take a quick break. I got to make a couple of announcements. We're going to come back. But the real deal on this, and I think me and Muscle talked about this, that Cotto and Alvarez are going to fight. That's the next big
fight. Without doubt.
That's the, unless Top Rank blows it. Unless Top Rank blows it. Because right now, they can't afford to let Alvarez lose. And this is the second time I've seen Alvarez basically get a fight that he didn't win. He didn't win the fight against Trout. Real quickly, a couple of things here. The World Cup final, by Argentina, the guy considered the best player of his era, Lionel Messi, will be joining Mr. Germany. And there's questions, too. Everybody's kind of brushing this off. Serena Williams had to bow out of the doubles. Didn't look like herself in losing at Wimbledon. Nobody's a little more concerned about this injury of hers that seems to be something that could be quite serious. We've been showing on our monologue of pictures redundantly, pictures of Bobby Womack, not too much have been said, one of the great singers of all time, came on the scene with his brothers as the Valentinos. His father had told God and prayer that if you give me sons, they will sing your gospel. A close friend of Sam Cooke, one of the great artists vocally, and that was also by himself and with his brothers. So we just want to remember Bobby Womack. This month is a big birthday month, and one of the birthdays that happened this month are two of the legendary figures, iconic in their sports. Arthur Ashe, the first African-American male to win Wimbledon, first African-American male to ever be ranked number one. Arthur's birthday is this month, and Arthur always talked about the credibility of a good name. I remember Arthur and the birthday, too, is month of Larry the Legend Hardesty. And I remember the last time I saw Arthur Ashe. I did an interview with Arthur Ashe, and it wound up being in Boys Life magazine. And the last words I heard Arthur Ashe say, talk to you later, Larry, a man of credibility
and stature pace, considered the greatest pitcher of all time, period. I once asked the great Joseph Paul DiMaggio. I said, Mr. DiMaggio, I read somewhere that you said that when you got a hit off of stature pace and exhibition game, you were ready for the big leagues. And I see the great Joseph Paul DiMaggio smile at me. He says, yeah. No, and then he smiled, he said, you know what, but the older he got, the harder he was to hit. I remember Dusty Baker telling me that Page was on the staff, coaching staff of the Atlanta Braves when Dusty first came up as a rookie because they wanted him to get enough tenure to get the pension. And he said there were days that Satchel Paige pitched batting practice. He said that Melvin would do nothing with him. They'd be, Mr. Page, thanks a lot, sir. We're going to let somebody else pitch. Willie Mays' book, he tells the story of getting a double off Satchel Paige's first time up. And Satchel Paige walked out to second base and told this young 18-year-old Willie Mays, 17-year-old, the next time you come up, you're going to see three pitches and you're going to sit down. Turned to the shortstop and said, let me know when he comes up again. The rest, they say, is history. Willie Mays went back down on the bench. LeBron James goes back to Cleveland. We got a nice picture in the monologue of him and his lovely wife. And there's a picture of Neymar, who, according to all my inside Brazilian information, he's the only player that's going to be unscathed in this World Cup situation. The fans are irate, distort at the coach, mad at him for his coaching. He wouldn't put some certain key players on, Kaká, Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, veteran players that could have been advantageous to surrounding and helping Neymar, advantageous to helping this team. He wouldn't put them on. He's not doggone, as Marvin Gaye said. He's going to be long gone, and they are upset at the rest of the players. The last time Brazil in 1950 played the World Cup, they were in the championship game, needed only to tie to win, and they lost to Uruguay and Paraguay. They lost to Paraguay. And so there's a lot of fallout today. Messi will sort of cement his legacy if he can win this thing from Argentina. We want to shout out to our number one listener here on Sports and Dev, Rosie from Hedonia, and also say hi to Nuri and Al Pacino, Ricardo, who is Argentinian. They were rooting for Argentina today, and also our beloved Elke. And other interesting thing, Tiger Woods, he should be back in the next major. He's off the board there, as we told you. Carmelo Anthony has signed a big contract. He's going to be with the Nets. Big fight coming up. We're talking about the fight last night. But the next one, they're talking about Buzz and Bob. Press conference tomorrow.
Yeah.
Madonna.
Mayweather.
Troy,
Madonna.
Pretty boy Mayweather. That's going to be the next
fight.
Oh,
no. You mean pound for pound, the greatest fighter that ever lived.
Mike, forgive me. Lady A had
the best
perfect thing. And she said about
TV.
Mayweather, you know, if you're going to consider yourself with the greats, do what the greats do. You know, you don't fight at catch weights. And we're going to have Melly Mel on the show. And Melly Mel said, you know what, Floyd Mayweather keeps winning his fight of the year, but he's never been in the fight or had the round of the year. Melly Mel is not big on Floyd Pretty Boy Mayweather. I feel he's putting up Rock Talk Radio. Trust me, God, you know, we got another good half hour for you. The gang's all here. Double Bar Howard, we'll try to catch up with him. Gentlemen, one more little music we're gonna come back and a couple quick notes and we'll talk some more about this. What's in the Block Radio? Trust and Guard Network. Don't move. Rock Family, sponsored by Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard. And I work at the SID Sunday afternoon, the light sports post-fight interviews, and talk about the big fight last night, talking about the fights that are forthcoming. As we told you once again, the birthdays this month, Jose Canseco, first man ever to do 40-40. Larry Hart, the greatest African sportscaster in the history of radio here in New York City, based mix of all time. We say happy birthday to Cincinnati Sea Wings, who had a birthday on the 3rd. First Lady of SID Sports, Lady A, on the 10th. It was also the birthday of the only man, when he retired, outside of Willie Mays, who hit over 300 home runs and stole over 300 bases. Andre, the classic Hawk Dawson, was a great player with a great human being. Tiger Woods is back, and so is LeBron James. Going back home, going back to Cleveland, Don King's territory, and Melo is coming back to New York City. Greatest fans in the world, he said, and the place he wants to play to bring it off. Plus $129 million is about $39 million more than anybody else.
They're still working on his contract, Doc.
Really? Okay, well, all right. Who's with the last minute scoop was always on the money?
Well, we got more scoops. We got more signings.
Happy birthday, as we remember Arthur Ashe and also Statue Page. My cousin's wrestler yesterday. The first and only African-American ever commanded JCS unit in the history of the United States military. That's the unit that the Army came out. Robert L. Buffet Jr., his birthday is on the 15th of this month. His brother Reggie was on the 10th. My cousin Sylvester is having one. Also, we want to say hi to Rika in Holland. She's got to be happy. They played a tremendous match. They're the third best team in the world. They looked like they were going to get to the final, but they got upended by Argentina. Argentina beat them. Argentina will be playing for the championship today, so that will be a very big game, exciting game. That's a 3 o'clock start here in the USA. They got up to the USA. They had a good run. We'll have some concerns about Serena Williams. Nobody's talking about it a lot, and I find that sort of, well, not puzzling, but the last 10 of the last women's championships won by a female has been won by either Serena Williams or Venus Williams, and they won 5 double championships. I'm just amazed by nobody's talking about what's wrong. She's going to be all right. Those have got to be our concerns. Venus and Serena were both in our prayers, and we hope everything works well for you. Tanaka maybe had Tommy John surgery. He was rocking and rolling. Now it's called Derek Sanderson Jeter. His last time around in basketball. Derek Sanderson Jeter. Everything is still the fact it was supposed to be. Everything that Mickey Mantle was. A real live American hero. Jeter also is the first and only Yankee in 3,000 base hits. The only Yankee ever to win the World Series MVP. And the only Yankee with the most hits in all-star play. Derek Jeter is a lot of things. But as character. A little superstar, a fleet of ways to describe it. Dr. Stanley, sports is at Block Stop Radio, Custom Guardian number. I think I see Mr. NFL 411. Maybe get him in here real quick. Joe Namath is also in part of our collage here. And Joe said he sees nothing good, G-O-D, nothing good about Geno Smith. He said back at the dinner, the nine-way dinner, that for all intents and purposes, if things work out, the starting quarterback should be Michael Vick, Cincinnati Sea Wings. You concur with that?
Well, let me tell you something. Who the hell is Joe Namath to make a remark like that? Who the hell is Joe Namath to make a remark because he's an elder statesman? He's full of it.
He got a Super Bowl ring.
I don't care if he has 55,000 Super Bowl rings. He has no right to knock down a rookie.
Horrible. And do you know they're going to ask Joe? Joe Namath, he's a guy that made the NFL AFL merger. Joe Namath is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game.
I don't care what he did. He has no right to knock a rookie who's trying to get his foot into the door.
Joe said that Geno's stats are horrible. Geno's stats are horrible. And Joe feels that the starting quarterback, he's in the Pinkers of America. Joe said, I think that his stats are horrible, and I think
I couldn't care less what he thinks.
He's not wrong. It's not like he's lying. It's not like he called him the N-word. He said, hey, his stats are horrible, and I think Michael Vick should be the starting quarterback. That's his opinion. I'm not talking about Tookie down the block. I'm talking about Joe Willie Namath. Alabama? Oh, Dusty, pipe down. Dusty, pipe down. Leave Joe alone.
Joe should keep his mouth shut.
They asked him.
Well, he should keep his mouth shut. Make no disparaging remark over a rookie who's trying to make it, who was pushed in there under pressure. That's what he has. He says, he's a young kid. Maybe his stats, we got to work on his stats. Get your ass into training camp and help the kid instead of knocking him in the public. He's full of it, Joe Namath.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaving no stone unturned. Dusty, baby. Hey, ding, ding, ding. Dusty and Joe Namath, round 2 on the next show. Dusty, get back in the corner. Calm down, baby. Somebody call him off. Call him off. Bring him some water.
Well, Joe Namath will not
get him some water. In his face, Dusty.
Yeah, well, I tell him in his face. I tell him anyway. I go to the living room of his house in front of his TV, and I'll tell him he's full of shit.
Okay.
No. Calm down. Leave Joe. That's not that real. Never, I thought we had
Cincinnati Chief, but he's with you. Oh, so give us some more basketball stuff. We got another good 50 minutes, so I want to get that for you. And then we're going to talk about this forecoming fight, Triple G and Gil. Oops, so what's the latest scoop on the NFL? Yeah. Now, you say you have some more news for us? Let us have it. Let it flow, baby. Let it go. Let it go. What is that?
Well, Trevor Ariza just signed a contract with the Rockets 4 years for $32 billion. Paul Gasol just signed with the Bulls for $10 million. And Paul Pierce left the Nets and went to the Wizards for 2 years, $11 million. I don't understand that
you
one.
Know what? You know what? I don't understand this Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce looked putrid last year. Putrid. I mean, over games, he came and got 5 points. I mean, I don't know. I'm just wondering, where does this money come from? Where did they get the money to pay that? I got no problem. I'm not begrudging him, but it's just amazing. I mean, I was thinking, I think what happened, too, is the second time he tried to get back with Doc Rivers and it didn't work out. But I got no problem with it. I'm just surprised that I'm going to be very interested to see the kind of money that Dwayne Wade's going to get. In lieu of what happened with Bosch. I mean, you know, in lieu of the money that Bosch got and now the money with Paul Pierce. I mean, because, you know, Dwayne Wade's resume shows All-Pro. It shows championship rings. I'm just going to be very interested to see the kind of money he's going to get, especially if he stays in Miami.
If he stays in Miami.
They're talking about him going to Chicago. But, you know, it's quite interesting. Quite interesting. That's not the rule. So, gentlemen, let's get back to boxing real quick. Big fight coming with Triple G and Gail. We're going to start off with the muscles. I think this is a given. Triple G wins this fight.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry for the interruption, man. It looks like a fight on paper that Triple G should win. I mean, Triple G wasn't able to get Martinez. Something that Martinez didn't want. I mean, Triple G seems to be that guy, right? That monster in the middleweight division that nobody wants. So he's got to keep on trucking. He's got to keep winning fights. So Dan Gil is probably his next victim.
Francisco, Gil, Danny the real deal. Gil is no pushover. I've seen this guy fight.
He's a rough kid.
I've seen him fight before, and he's a pretty good offensive fighter. Defensive, I don't know. There's question marks, but
he
knocked down.
Go ahead.
He knocked down Rob Barber when he lost the title with that left hook to the liver. Dropped him down, but he's stupid enough. He didn't go back. Because the guy got up at 9 count, he could have gone back to the scene of the pain, but then he started ducking around, and then he lost the title. But he's a pretty good offensive fighter. I don't know how Triple G is going to do with this guy, because he's a tough European fighter. So I don't know, but
he's tough, but. And he'll probably give Triple G some rounds. But, you know, Triple G is a powerful puncher, and we expect him to do what he normally does, which is get his opponent out of there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what makes Triple G a hard animal is the fact that his punch is comical, but you say, but his punches don't travel more than 3 or 4 inches. He's short. He's sharp. If he will fight Miguel Cotto would lose. Because Miguel Cotto's punches are all wide and almost telegraphed. But this guy, like a radar.
I kind of disagree. And I think Cotto's a sharp puncher himself. I just think that
Golovkin
think Golovkin is bigger, stronger, and that's going to make a difference fighting Cotto.
Yeah.
Cotto can barely fought well at 54 in junior middle. Mm-hmm. And as a middleweight, he wouldn't stand a chance against
Triple G.
Dusty, another thing about Triple G, too, that we forget to take, you know, we talked about Abel Sanchez when we was talking on his positioning, even like when he's cutting off the ring, he always is in the proper positioning.
Yeah.
Even like the guy spins out. always to throw a punch. He's always in position.
He's always
well,
in
I
balance.
Disagree. I disagree in that. I think that he sometimes, yeah, sometimes he is and sometimes he isn't. He spends so much time stalking that he's putting
exactly.
himself up sometimes. And I think that the reason why they don't want to go after a guy like Andre Ward is because Andre Ward will capitalize on that. He won't be able to stop Andre Ward like he does, you know, his current opponent.
Yeah.
And that would be a big difference.
Right.
We got to see him in with some skill. You know what I mean? Another thing is, like I said, this guy, Gil, is definitely a solid kid. I mean,
does
he have phenomenal skills? No. I mean, but he's a solid guy. And I think this is the Macklin step up. I mean, I don't know. Macklin wasn't.
Macklin got hit by Triple G. And he was paralyzed in the ring. So, you know, could Triple G do that? Yeah, to Gil? I don't know.
I think in the middleweight division, I think, look, the fights that should be made in the middleweight division, which was Chavez Jr., which didn't happen.
Exactly.
Peter Quillen, who's pretty much, for some reason, that fight can't be made.
He's fighting tomato cans, but too busy.
You know, Martinez spent his time chasing big fights, so he didn't want Golovkin because he was afraid of losing. So now we got Cotto. Cotto is definitely not going to fight Golovkin. He's probably going to chase Timothy Bradley, and if he beats Timothy Bradley, he might have a Canelo fight down the line because Canelo is talking about fighting Kirkland for his next fight because they're not thinking about taking Cotto on so soon.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. But the middleweight division is at the top dog. Although Cotto, by politics, is the reigning middleweight because of the beating he gave the titles that Martinez had, the dark horse is Triple G. And to keep busy, I think you said it, Francisco, to keep busy, you got to fight these guys. But I seen Daniel Gill fight two or three times. This is some rough dude, man. So
yeah, he's got solid.
I think what they need to do with Triple G is stop the rhetoric. You know, they keep saying, oh, we just keep winning. Nobody wants to fight us. But they literally need to chase down these guys and publicly force these guys to fight. Because there's too many guys hiding behind promoters, hiding behind networks. And now we have Golden Boy and Bob Arum talking, you know, and all this mix. This fight should be made, man. This fight that should be made. That's all I'm saying.
Muscles, we talked about this, me and you, last time at ringside.
What
I mean, we could talk about this all day. These guys have all got to come together and do something because, again, you don't see the proper fights being made. You know what I mean? How much longer is it going to go on? These guys are going to, like, with Martinez. I mean, the guy was half out of the bag. I mean, it was done when he fought this guy. I mean, it should have been done a long time ago. You know, nothing to take anything from Miguel Cotto's performance. But at the end of the day, these are fights that should have been made a long time ago.
Yeah.
And,
all right, fellas, I have to leave. I got an important thing to do, so I'll talk to you guys later. God bless you. Keep discussing.
And continue
gossiping about me. I'm okay.
Take care, Dustin.
All right, take care.
Yeah, I have to go too, guys. I just came in for a little bit just to talk about the last night's fight. I don't know what you guys thought about it, but all I have to say is that, you know, neither guy deserved the nod. I scored it for Eric Lani Lara, but if you want to argue about, you know, who was the better guy that night, you know, neither guy capitalized on what they were able to do. I thought that Canelo was never able to get into the fight, and Lara kept it that way, kept himself in a safety zone and didn't move in and at least capitalize on his movement by throwing more punches. You know, especially when you have the judges in that you're going to be dealing with. So,
that's a tremendous point. There's no way in the world that Lara could have thought that he was going to win that fight and went to the scorecards. He had to beat him conventionally. He had to knock him out. To sit there and know the fastball is coming and still take the pitch is just is no excuse for that. I agree 100%. I mean, and his camp was so sure that they would win the fight by TKO or knockout that it wouldn't go into the judges' hands. And you see what happened. I mean, Carmelo is a lot of things, and he is one of the top names. But
my thing was also that in order to get a guy tired, you have to pressure a guy and make him fight. They never made Canelo really fight. Canelo was pretty much walking, following Lara, and you know, and whenever he was able to land something of significance on Lara, Canelo, he would pop shot him and move out of the way. He never forced Canelo to fight a faster pace where he would get him tired. It would have been more effective that way to get him tired for the later rounds and then start picking him apart. But they never forced him to fight. So
the bottom line is he's got the L, and Lara Canelo won. Canelo won, and it seems that it was not so much what Canelo did. It was what Lara didn't do. Real quickly, get back to you. World Cup final today. Also, the month of July. We were talking about birthdays, and I think we got to stop and scoop the guy who has won the MVP 7 times, oldest man to win the batting champion, and where, depending on what your thoughts are, it's regardless, the all-time home run king, Barry Lamar Bonds, has a birthday this month, too. You know, guys have significant achievements in baseball. A-Rod has a birthday this month. Only infielder to do 40-40. The youngest man to reach 600 home runs. Jose Canseco, the first man to do 40-40. Barry Bonds, the all-time home run king, the only man to over 500 home runs, 500 stolen bases, and the first National Leaguer to do 40-40. Satchel Paige, greatest pitcher of all time. Arthur Ashe, a birthday this month. We also talked about Dusty, not saying anything, but he just left us. But his niece, my niece's daughter, Gabby, has a birthday this month. So everybody who has a birthday this month, along with Lady A, along with, of course, Mr. NFL 411, and I got a host of cousins. Yesterday, my cousin Sylvester's birthday, Robert O., but they, Junior's first African American man, they said the Union history of the United States military, his birthday is going to be the 15th. Rika over in Holland. She can be proud. Their team is the third best football team in the world as they beat Brazil yesterday. 3-0 Brazil now. The last two games scored 1 goal, gave up 10. Bad attention, as Harold Weston would say. Doc Kelly, Sports Talk Radio, Broadcast Radio on the Tesla Driver Network. Your birthday today, we also have your birthday to you too. Doc Kelly, Sports Talk Radio, Tesla Driver Network. It's a Sunday afternoon, and we're talking baseball, we're talking basketball, and real quickly, we're going to go back. Mike, you were just totally disappointed, and I think not only the lack of talent, but maybe the lack of preparation by the fighters yesterday, Mike? Mike? Oh, I thought MJ with us. Okay, Humso, we're back to you here real quickly. Where do you think the way is going to go?
Who?
Wade, where do you think he's going to go? Do you think he's going to go back to Miami?
I hope so, because they ain't got nobody now. They got Bosch. Everybody's just free agents. Well, they're going to need a team. They're trying to look at Luai Deng right now. They're trying to sign him right now. Mm-hmm. And plus, they got to sign Hanslett. There's a lot of guys are free agents. They only got like three or four guys on the contract. So Miami got a lot of things they got to do.
Yeah, I tell you what, the biggest thing they had to do, they didn't do, is that they didn't get. Yeah, Mike.
Hey, listen, I don't mean to cut you off. I got to hang up over here. I got some party that I have to go to. I apologize.
Okay.
It was great chatting with
you
guys, all right?
Okay. Okay, listen, we're getting ready to close. Anyway, Mike, real quickly, you have Triple G winning coming up, and also I'm pretty sure you're leaning toward Mayweather in the Madonna fight.
I think it's a clean pick across the board with Triple G and Mayweather. The favorites are one, I think.
Well, Mike, you're going with Mayweather because, after all, he is the best ever, right?
I love you, Doc.
Thanks, man. DW, talk to you later. We're getting ready to run along here. I'm Kelly Sports and Blog Talk Radio on the Custom Garden Network. The Blue Rooster was here. DW Mike was here. Dusty A-Fair Brown was here. Ed Muscle was here. As we talk about the sweet science. And before we go, real quickly, Marvin Gaye is going to take us away, and then me and Hoops are going to say goodbye to you. Ladies and gentlemen, hang on just a minute. Marvin Gaye has something to say. Eric, hold on.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live. But who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
Love? We all need love. Life is a lot of things. One, something to not take for granted. Something not to realize that use every valuable second of it. Something not to always stop and praise and give God honor for. Life is a tremendous, greatest gift. One of the greatest gifts, that and love. No life, no love. Don't take it for granted. Don't waste it. Always praise and put God at the forefront of it. Oops, sir. We're going to slide out here. And in sliding out, we want to come and real quickly say to you, so you feel you don't know where Dwayne Wade's going to go right now. But
no, I don't know.
You called Mello. Well, You called,
That was about to tell you
LeBron.
About the Bulls. That was close. That was very close, though, Doc.
Yeah.
That was so close.
Mm-hmm.
He almost signed with the
what
Bulls, you know. The reason why
yeah,
he went
yeah.
to the Knicks is so they gave him their offer.
Mm-hmm.
He almost left New York, so thank God the fans
wow.
got to New York. So got to come
to
the
way I pass
almost left.
All right, well, I hope so. we're going to do. Jump back at you later. Doc Stanley's Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Question Blog Radio Network. Get running out of here. The Hoopster is with me to the end. Hoopster, we'll talk to you later. And thanks for the invitation. But the Hoopster, real quick, who do you like in the game between Argentina and Germany? Who's going to win that game?
The big Argentina, man.
Okay, Hoopster, take care, baby. Doc Stanley's Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Question Blog Radio Network. Leave you with big thoughts. Live your life today. As they said, it's 10 before dark tomorrow. Life is most persistent. My urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others? Which paper is safe first? Be in the pocket we simply say, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. Trust in God. Trust in death. Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network.
And I was just running to find something true. And I'd just be running with nothing to prove. And I kept on running and had nothing to show. They all saw me running and said, there he goes. You caught my eye one day while I was on a run. Somehow you made me feel my life had just begun.
Oh,
I'd seen the last of all my roaming days. 'Cause I knew from you I'd never run away. Now you've got me running to get home to you. And my heart keeps running when I think of things you do. And I won't be running to no one else no more. They all see me running and say that's love for sure.
Yeah. I'm not hesitating,
no.
As soon as work is done,
yeah.
Fast as my leg can carry me. Life ain't complicated,
oh no.
You've got only one heart, one joy, one place to be.
Now I'm watching people running all around, chasing after things that'll just run them down. Life is so much better if they change their ways. I wish I could tell them, but you know I can't stay. 'Cause I gotta get running and get home to you.
Gotta get home,
and my heart keeps running when I think of things you do.
Think about things,
and I won't be running. No one else, no one, no more.
Is a woman to call my very own.
you tribute to the late great Al Jackson. He was classic with his Sunday morning classics. And we remember Al, spiritually, mentally, and musically. So all of our shows will end with some musical renditions to remind you Sunday morning classics. But at first, African American sportscaster across the board, Jackie Robinson. African American sportscaster and my second mentor, late great Al Jackson. This year, this station lands number one hit across the board with Eddie Kendrick lead. Just imagination.
I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellows in the world, she belongs to me. But it was just my imagination running away with me. It was just my imagination.
Trust in God, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio Network. And once again, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. And remember, Jesus is the way. Hey, he paid it all. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Trust in God. Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And as always say, tribute to Hal Jackson from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God.
Oh yeah. unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again. But I repent, forgive me for my sins. You paid it all. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, though I can have everlasting life. You paid it all.